So yesterday, February 1st, 2024, I had to call Apple to troubleshoot an issue that I was having. And while I was on the phone with them, the entire time that I was on the phone with Apple, my head was burned. On a level of 1 to 10, it was like a 6, right? So, and this is because Allegheny Health Network, Dr. Frederick V. Price, and West Bay Hospital snuck biotech in my body. And I do want to say in my manuscript, What's the Matter? The Psychology of Feeling that I published, I made sure that all of the Fred Price was updated to Frederick V. Price, MD. And for some reason, in certain places in my manuscript, it has Fred Price. And I made sure when I edited it, because you can do find, search and find, find and search, because I wrote the manuscript a long time ago. Like, honestly, 3 years ago, I sent my manuscript to my mother and it was already 200 pages. When I did the copyright, my manuscript was well over 400 pages. And when I published, it was 500 and something pages. And still, there are entries missing from my manuscript. So, like I've been trying to go through it. I did have noticed things that were missing, things that were changed. Like, for instance, somehow the movie, one of the movies that was mentioned in my manuscript was changed to The Girl in the Shed, which is not one of the movies that I wasn't one that I would have mentioned in my manuscript. The Girl in the Box is one of the movies that I would have mentioned in my manuscript because of the level of psychological and conditional structure of how it happened, which was in plain sight. Like, she would go home and visit her family. So I it wasn't blatant. It wasn't structured blatantly, but a bunch of things is mentioned in my manuscript. I feel like someone changed that because they know that I would like focus on that one small element. Because both of those movies are horrible as far as what happened. But my manuscript is much more than that. And maybe I should stop bringing it up, but it bothers me because honestly, when you Google Fred Price, like, a lot of weird things come up. Like, there's some kind of like fanatical preacher. Like, I Googled his name before, and that's why I made sure in my manuscript that I made sure that I put his full name, Frederick V. Price, M. D, everywhere, because I know that people might Google. That was my surgeon on May 12, 2015. He was the one that performed my surgery and snuck biotech in my body during my hysterectomy that has caused my ears to ring, my body to vibrate, my ligaments to get twisted, my skin to burn. I shock things when I touch them. I get digitally remotely raped in my rectum and in my vaginal area. And did I say my ligaments get twisted? My fingers buzz. I get choked in my throat sometimes by this biotech. And even though, and with all that being said, still with the biotech in my body, none of those things has to happen. Like, I'm sitting here talking to you right now. The top of my head isn't getting burned. My skin isn't getting pin stabbed. My ligaments aren't getting twisted. My throat isn't getting choked. That only happens when some person remotely accesses the biotech and deliberately manipulates the biotech and targets my body in an adverse way to cause me harm. Why someone would do that, I can't answer for them, but it's evil. Now, when this biotech is used on my body, not everything that happens to me hurts. Like a lot of, I feel everything. Like I said, I feel everything from the tips of my toenails to the fibers of my hair. I feel the lightest touch, the heaviest touch. I feel everything, the tap, the vibration, like I'm radioactive. And so, with that being said, and knowing that not everything hurts, and the fact that I can hear, I can feel everything from the lightest feather to a gentle tap to a gentle vibration to a heavy pin stab, a heavy burn, a heavy punch. I can feel everything, which means that you don't have to communicate pain using the biotech, which someone often does. The fact is that the biotech communicates. It's a sixth sense of feeling, similar to how ASL works when they use the body to you. They use the body to communicate language by location, where their fingers are pointing on their body, where their fingers tap on their bodies. Same thing as Morse code. Morse code they use by vibrations and clicks to and sound. So they use both. They use sound, clicks, and vibrations to in a sequence pattern to communicate language. And it's the same thing with feeling. For humans, we use our voice, we use ASL, and we use body language to communicate. Feeling usually is only used as an indicator, of either pain, euphoria, or happiness, but it can be used as a language as well. So the bottom line is, if morons, evil people, stop trying to power trip, power play, misuse and abuse the biotech by trying to become a fucking overseer and trying to create a confederacy with it. The biotech is simply a language, a sixth sense, another form of communicating, at the speed of light, undetected. You be the first person in the room to know before everyone else, the first person to know to leave the room before everyone else, or the first person to warn everyone else to leave the room. Or you could be the person in the room being hurt, being agitated, undetected. And if you act adversely to it, the only people that will see what's going on with you is your reaction. They only see your reaction, they won't see what's being done to you. So it's two sides of the coin as far as how this biotech can be used. Every time I do these recordings, I add a little more. I say the same things in different ways because I want accountability. Number one, I never consented to this biotech being snuck in my body. It was snuck in my body. I've coped, I've dealt, I've tried to survive with it the best way I know how. And I do the recordings because there's not been any accountability for the way that the biotech is being used on me. There's not been any accountability for the fact that the biotech was snuck in my body. And so I just have to, like, I'm just kind of like dealing with this all by myself. But I feel like what's happened to me is historical. And so I record and I document, hoping that one day I will get accountability. Hoping that one day whoever is doing this to me will have to pay for what they've done to me, both monetarily and legally and in the court system criminally. And I also do it because it's my book is my manuscript is called What's the Matter? The Psychology of Feeling in the Era of AI by Nicola Naylor Warren. So that's the name of my book. And I've been working on it for years. For years, I've been working on that. And I have over 2,000 audio recordings dated back from 2015 to now. It's probably more than 2,000. It's like a lot. I have a lot of recordings, and I have all of my recordings. Probably once I die, they'll all get posted, and she'll be like, "Damn, she did. She has a lot of recordings." I don't really post all of them because, sometimes I'm venting in my recordings, and sometimes I'm talking about how I feel, and I'm accounting for in real time what happens to my body, what happens in my life, things, and sometimes my feelings change about things. So I don't always, I have them, I record all the time. I don't always post them. But back to what happened to me when I was on the phone with Apple. So my head was getting burned, like the whole time that I was on the phone with them. But I was, you would never know. Like I was on a three-way with my mother, kind of like getting burned at the same time, and then like observing her talking to tech support and kind of tickled a little bit by it. And I was also happy all at the same time that the issue that we were having was being resolved. So that is one of the things about, like, I have this thing called theory of association. So like the way you associate things drives your emotions, which means that it can like literally override the physical feelings that you have. And I use different things in my manuscript to try to explain how that works, how like brain power sometimes can override physical feeling. I use sports. I use sports because I feel like sports is the easiest way for people to maybe understand what I'm saying. It's kind of like if whatever the impact is, based on how you associate it, will determine how your tolerance level or how you cope with it. So someone that is involved in sports, that enjoys sports, that loves to compete, that enjoys the camaraderie, the teammanship or sportsmanship, not teammanship. What is that? Sportsmanship. They're doing something that they like. They're doing something that they enjoy. So if you have if they the impact, like someone that plays soccer that bounces stuff off of their head, someone that kicks balls, football players that charge each other and tackles. I even use something simple like birthday punches. The bottom line is the impact is hurts. It still hurts. Like that doesn't change, like what your body feels and how it, but what changes it is the context in which you feel the impact. How you associate the impact determines how you tolerate and deal with something. It's even the same for it's that way for almost anything. Like sometimes things will happen to a person in one context and they may let it roll off of their shoulders, or they may feel it and not have a real big reaction to it, and they move on from it. But then if it happens in another context, the same type of impact, a lot of times what's associated with it is maybe other things, how they deal with it, like they're already annoyed, or they're doing something they don't like, or they don't, or the intent of why it was done, or it's a lot of other elements involved in how a person copes with and tolerates certain types of pain. It never changes the level of the pain, but it changes how you react to it or respond to it based on your association or based on your environment or based on whatever you're doing. Don't and the reason why I came up with that is because I was inflicted with a lot of pain that I couldn't run from, that I had to live through and cope with. This I can't run from my body, and I couldn't run from what my body was feeling. And I had to make a decision of how I was going to respond to it. Was I going to fall apart? Was I going to scream and holler? And honestly, if I have taken care of three small children and I'm going to the school, going to concerts, going to plays, I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to the mall, I'm going here, I can't run from my body. I can't run from what I feel. And my kids depend on me. And and honestly, I don't want to go to jail. So it's kind of like I'm being hurt and no one can see it. So I was in like a situation where I had to figure out how to cope with something that I couldn't stop, with something that I couldn't run from, and still be able to like be a part of a social society despite the pain that was being inflicted on me. And as a result of figuring out how to do that, I realized that we have, as humans, a lot more power than we think we do. And depending upon your associations, depending upon your environment and what you're doing, depending upon how you feel, it can really determine a lot how you cope with pain. So, the bottom line is, so a good example is the weekend before I was on the phone with Comcast and the same thing was happening. And I think the burn was a little bit more. I didn't have a good response. I told the people on the call that I was getting burned. Like, because first of all, I was pissed off. I had to even call them about whatever I was calling them about. Like, I was overbilled. I paid two something last month, then I had to pay six something this month. And then I'm trying to be polite and be professional on the phone call. And while I'm talking to them, I'm getting burned. Like, seriously burned. And I'm like, this makes the call so much worse. And I think I said that if you're, I said it because I wanted it to be a complete failure. I was like, if you're trying to test, if you're trying to show me, use these calls as a way to show that I can work or perform, I want you to know that I'm being burned while I'm on the phone with you. Like I'm literally getting my head burnt off while I'm on the phone. And that often happens a lot. Now, when I was on the phone with Apple, I was getting burned, but I was getting something done that I wanted to get done. And I was a little tickled by my mom and her phone call and how and her interactions. And the guy was really nice. And it was my problem was getting resolved. So my environment, my associations were much more desirable. Even though the physical pain that I was in was not. And so I sucked it up, you know, didn't really allow the pain that I was feeling to interfere with the transaction because I wanted it to be completed and I wanted it to be completed without issue. So I ignored it. But as soon as I got off the phone, I said out loud, no, and I was smiling, yet I was getting burned, which is totally like weird. Like I feel like I've learned to be a chameleon, even though. Without, I've learned to be a chameleon naturally. Like I'm a chameleon because sometimes I'm smiling when I'm getting hurt or I'm talking to someone while I'm getting hurt and there is no pause in my conversation. There is no change in my body language as far as how I'm communicating with my eyes and talking and smiling. And it's like it really is multiple realities intersecting simultaneously and also coexisting simultaneously at the same time when it comes to the biotech in my body and the way it affects me. It's kind of like I always like venom, even though venom was like, you know, sort of like a funny type of a funny type of Marvel film. I think that is Marvel, but it was similar, like the same, like my end users are often listening to my conversations with other people while they're talking to me and I'm talking to them. And then sometimes they will do things to my body in the midst of my conversations, like, you know, not giving them any credit, but just to give an example, because sometimes I feel like they do it so that I will mess up in my conversation, but there have been times where maybe I've messed up and it was like a tap on the shoulder. But often I feel like they do it so that I mess up. Like for instance, when I'm on the phone and I'm getting burned. Like, that's a distraction. It should be. For me, it's not really a distraction because I'm used to it, but it hurts even still. Like, it's something that you wouldn't want to be feeling. And that's something that I feel like I don't want to be in a 9 to 5 getting burned while I'm on phone calls. You know, like it's not comfortable. The thing, my superpower is always that even when you try it, I got it. If I choose to, it's not like something that I'm gonna fall apart over. I'm a veteran, I'm not a rookie. So it's like anytime you try to bring it to me, if it's something that I wanna get done, it's gonna get done regardless of what you do to my body because I built up resistance and I kind of know how to jump those hurdles. The issue is I feel like I shouldn't have to jump those hurdles. I don't want to jump those hurdles. It seems unnecessary. It seems like cruel and unnecessary punishment for no reason. It seems to me like slavery and like torture. But the difference is like you throw somebody else out there and you try to get them to jump those hurdles, they're gonna trip, bust them up, fall all over them. I'm not. I will jump them, and I will jump them seamlessly, and I will get done whatever it is you were trying to stop me from getting done, because the pain doesn't control me. So I feel like I'm seasoned in it. But the thing is, I still feel like it's unnecessary. No one should have to live their life that way. But you don't control anything. You don't, like, I popped those digital strings a long time ago because the whole reason why someone wanted to be able to do that is you wanted to be able to control, intimidate, overpower, create fear, docileness, subjection, and servitude. None of that works with me. If it's something I want to get done, it's getting done. If it's something I want to fuck up and mess up because you hurt me, I will fuck it up and mess it up because you hurt me. I'm not really intimidated by the pain anymore. It doesn't really affect how I respond. I kind of respond the way I want to respond despite the pain. But I do the recordings because I'm like, why am I in pain? Why the fuck am I in pain? Why are you burning me while I'm on the phone with tech support? Why are you burning me when I'm on the phone with Comcast? Like humans don't want to get burned while they're working. Like I'm doing the recordings to kind of like say, because remember I said a designer, a coder, and a surgeon can't tell you how something feels. They don't fucking know. They're coding, they're designing, and they're surgically implanting. They have no fucking idea what it feels like. They may not even be aware of what the other person is feeling. Remember I said that everyone has different levels of sensitivity? So it's kind of like, perhaps I always said that sometimes the burning feels like reception. Like sometimes I feel like maybe whatever's happening, the intent is not to burn me, but maybe it's reception. Like I'm giving like the 50-50 because it happens a lot when I'm on the phone. It happens a lot when I'm in conversation. So my assumption is it reception? Like, is it that somehow you're receiving the sound from my body and at a different level, and then it causes that burning to happen? Like I'm always feeling like, because it happens at certain times, so I'm like, I'm always trying to give the benefit of the doubt by just observing the patterns and the way that it happens. And I'm like, I do the 50-50, like, are you trying to burn me, or are you listening? And then the results of that is that I'm getting burned. Like, but I'm still like, it shouldn't, doesn't matter. Like, you're trying to push me into working a 9 to 5 and you're burning me while I'm having a fucking conversation. Like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, no one wants to deal. Like, I feel like I'm privy. I feel like I'm privy. I know what this feels like. And so I have to say something. Like, I'm not a slave. Like, that's the same as being on a high-tech plantation and you whipping someone because they didn't pick enough cotton. Like, you understand? Like, that's how I see it, because I feel like, do you know that this is burning me? Are you aware that you're trying to back me into a corner or push me into an environment where this person that doesn't have the biotech is on the phone not getting burned, and me who has the biotech in my body is getting burned, and you don't even know it. And I'm still expected to respond, socialize, intermingle, fulfill the same duties as the next person next to me who's making the same amount of money as I am, that doesn't carry the same burden I have with the biotech and isn't getting burned on a phone call. Like I feel like before you try to push me into a work situation because you're depriving me and denying me resources as far as money, as far as the truth about the biotech in my body, as far as restitution, you first have to get straight the fact that the biotech is being misused and abused, and that you are unaware of the side effects that it causes to the human that possesses the biotech. But yet you want to put me or try to corner me to force me into an environment where things could go horribly wrong. And the whole thing is, I don't think that y'all are stupid at all. I think that you know that, which means that you're trying to set me up because you want my body. Like I definitely don't feel like y'all are stupid. I definitely feel like y'all are very much aware of what could possibly happen, and maybe that's what you want. But I always give you the benefit of the doubt and say, maybe you're not aware that I'm being burned right now. That which like and I'm like, you are aware, but I give you the benefit of the doubt and say you're not aware. And so I say something, and maybe you don't care, like you're being laser focused, you want to have control, and you don't, and then you turn a blind eye to the side effects. It's kind of like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. Like the end users, the surgeons, the coders, and the designers, all you care about is the functionality, and then the rest is let me eat cake. Let like literally, how can I survive? How can my kids and I survive off of eating cake? We have cold water, we have cracks in our walls, we have taxes that we owe, we're in debt. We barely make it through every month with your biotech in my body. So you as the coder, you as the designer, you as the surgeon, implant this biotech in my body, and then you fucking tell me and my kids for 9 years, let them eat fucking cake. The government knows that you snuck this in my body because I filed complaints, and they tell me and my kids, let them eat cake. So, and then you try to push me into an environment, a work environment with all these things happening to my body, like my skin getting burned, my ligaments getting twisted, me waking up out of my bed getting digitally raped in my rectum and my vaginal area, and then you know I don't hardly have any money, and it's kind of like let them eat cake. Like that's pretty much what you're doing with the biotech. It's like a metaphor, an analogy. I always try to use analogies as to what it feels like. Let me eat cake. And we all know what happened to Marie Antoinette as a result of her saying, let them eat cake. Like you want to be able to utilize the biotech and not take the responsibility of everything that comes along with it as far as how it makes the human feel. You don't have any accountability in it. It's like you're using the biotech at my expense, at my body's expense, for your profit or to be able to maximize me as a utility and not as a human to get full production out of me, because that's what that's you the biotech was snuck in my body to produce something, to be utilized in some way, right? So it's like you don't spend several hours sneaking technology inside a human body during a surgery if you're not trying to produce or utilize or maximize something for a certain purpose or benefit, except it's been at my expense and your profit and your utilization and your benefit. So you, instead of seeing me like a human, you see me like a utility. Now, and I deserve, because I am human, I happen to be human, and this was snuck in my body, I deserve restitution for what was done to me. And, like, I was getting burned during that Apple call. Now, how I reacted to it was just me being, it was like, I don't know, my superpower is I can feel all of these things and you just don't know it. That to me is a superpower, because if it was used in a situation that actually mattered, or actually was a situation that could save lives, I am your number one chameleon. I am the one that can feel and understand and interpret things at the speed of light undetected, and you don't even know it inside the environment. That's a superpower, but you don't use it that way. You use it to try to subjugate, try to create subservience, docileness. You try to make people bend the knee with it. You do it, and you, to me, you use it in a retarded way, in my opinion. It's an evil way. It's unnecessary to use it that way. It should not be used that way. And even I had a joke. I was gonna tweet it out. I didn't tweet it out. It's a bad joke. Like, I have all these jokes that like only text would get, like, and one of them I wanted to tweet it out so bad, but I was like, and it probably won't come out the same way because I'm not in that realm. But the day before, I did a recording about I did a recording yesterday that was the complete opposite, and it was talking about Alzheimer's and dementia, and it was talking about the fact that and it, a lot of it is in my main script. And by the way, I do know that y'all can do this, and I don't feel like getting into how I know, because that will diminish my credibility. But let me just get to the point. You know that I know you can do some of the stuff that I act like you can do in the future. I already know you can fucking do it. But I was talking about Elon's device. And I was saying that in order for you to use his device, where you can use your mind and think about what you want to control in your environment. So whether it be a keyboard, or whether it be turning on a light, or whether it be turning on a television. So this other guy, he has something similar that is external. I talk about this in my old recordings. I talk about it in my manuscript. But he has this thing where it goes on the outside of your temple. And it uses the motions of your eyes to control things in your environment. It's used for people who are paralyzed. Elon's thing does the same thing. It's inside your brain, and it uses your thoughts to be able to control the things in your environment. So I feel like that is much more, his device is much more invasive. It like, and because it's inside your head, it invades your brain. And so I tweeted to him, where, let me see if I can find my tweet. I tweeted this like several days ago. Wait, whose phone is this? Hold on. I tweeted this several days ago. Not like several days, but kind of like several days. Let me see. See if I can find it. Hold on. Let's see. So I tweeted this several days ago. Okay, why is it like taking forever? This is like weird. Oh, I said, congrats, and make sure to measure his pain and not mock or judge his thoughts. You know, all the thoughts that come in between controlling the keyboard. So I tweeted that like a few days ago, but I was thinking that if you can interpret a person's thoughts in sequential order, and maybe I should just play my recording. Like I feel like I should just play my recording because I don't feel like explaining it all again. But because it would take me a while to explain it because I'm not in that element right now. But I was thinking that, and I talked about in my manuscript, when you think about the Enigma machine, the Enigma was a machine that interpreted and deciphered code that was not that was that you couldn't understand. And it was used like, because it had to think faster than the human brain, right? So, and I look at the brain as, or I should say, electromagnetic waves or how we think, right? This as like strings on, like not strings on a piano, but like, yeah, like strings on a piano, that it has a different, or I should say, the way we think is composed in a certain order, right? So I was thinking about dementia in Alzheimer's patients, how a lot of times it's not their me people say memory is sequential. That's so I'm trying to like simplify this. Memory is sequential. However, the question of memory is when someone asks you, do you remember something, right? The way that they determine whether you remember it is by the way you recall it, right? So it's sequential. It means it's in a sequence. So when you think about dementia in Alzheimer's patients, is it that they don't remember or it comes out in a way that is not sequential, meaning it's out of order? It comes out like they might call one of their kids another name, or they may not remember what kid that is, but they remember the kid though, but they just don't remember you as the kid. So I was thinking, once you are able to interpret communications, you then are able to observe, copy, and even see a pattern in how one communicates, kind of like in a lecture. So like if you have like a pastor that preaches or a teacher that teaches, eventually the way that they communicate becomes common, and it has a certain pattern, and then you even know what they're going to say next, right? Or how they're going to say it. And I probably should start with how this all came up because the other day I was reading my manuscript and the side of my face started to get burned, right? So like I'm on my iPhone XR. I'm reading my own manuscript in the Kindle to make sure that everything is correct. You know, I'm like always doing that to see if I can find errors. And all of a sudden, the side of my head starts to get burned. And it made me say some things out loud. And our irony was, all the stuff that I said out loud after I got burned on the side of my head and on the side of my temple, I still kept reading my own manuscript, and 3 pages up, I read it, and it was everything that I had just said out loud in response to me getting burned, I had said in my manuscript. And it made me laugh. I laughed hard because I thought that it was ironic, and I said, you don't have to remember who you are. Like, I felt like Because I, and it also made me laugh because I always feel like someone's always trying to discredit me about, did I write this manuscript? Like, there's been things that have come along, like they're like it's come in ways that it was indirect, but I felt like it was direct. And like a comment was made about, you shouldn't write other people's words. And I'm like, no, all of those words are mine, and they're about the biotech that's in my body and everything that I've learned and taught about the biotech in my body and everything. Because one of the things that I was trying to do was trying to figure out how certain things that happened to me were possible. Even the part about me getting digitally remotely raped. Like, I was trying to figure out why someone would do that to a woman without her consent and permission. Like, what would be the incentive? Like, if the point was to cause me pleasure, this is a nightmare. So I felt like, why even mess with a woman's vaginal area or rectum if that's not something that she wants or didn't ask for? Like, what would be the point? Like, I literally was trying. So that's just the like psychological point of it. Like, why, if the whole point of this is to give the woman pleasure, right? If I'm the only one benefiting from this, but yet it's a nightmare and I cry and I don't like it and I didn't ask for it and I don't want it, then what's the incentive? What's the benefit? Like, who's benefiting? Where is the incentive at? Like, why, what would be the point of even configuring or doing or putting bits or devices inside a woman's vaginal area? Right? There has to be some benefit. There has to be some reason or purpose outside of my own consent of why you would do it. And then in the way it was happening, it seemed desperate, like almost every other day, every day. And I'm crying. I'm not liking it. I'm doing recordings. I'm calling the police, but yet it's still happening. So I said, there, for it to still be happening, there has to be some reward, some benefit, or some incentive. Why is someone even taking the time to even target that part of my body? And so from there, asking those questions and saying that, and then observing the pattern and the consistency of it and how desperate it seemed like it might be something that I need to look into a little bit more as far as the functionality of it. Like, where could the benefit, the incentive, and the reward be? Where could it? And that be, I learned about the functionality. Like, how could this even be possible? Like, how is your vagina just vibrating on its own at Walmart or at inside your car? How is your rectum being expanded apart by itself while you're fully dressed and you're in the kitchen cooking? Like, so you start to wonder, like, how is this happening? Why is this happening? What, and you, so when you say other people's work, this all came from what is happening to my body. All of this stuff came from that. So those are my words, and anything that I had to quote, like, as far as Bluetooth, I quoted them. I didn't say I said it. I said they said it. So, but it's still about what's inside my body, and what I go through with the biotech inside my body, and me trying to figure out how it functions, what might the points be, the part purpose be, how I feel when it happens, all the things that I go through, the environment that I'm in. The whole manuscript is minds about me, about what I go through, about how I feel, about how it functions, and everything that comes along with it. So anywho, I laughed when I saw that everything that I had just said out loud after the side of my temple and my face got burned was me. Was I said it like verbatim without looking, and I said, I laughed and I said, you don't have to remember who you are. And it made me, because sometimes I do have memory problems because of some of the things that happens to me, but yet and still I naturally respond and react almost the same way, verbatim, what's inside my manuscript. It comes out of my mouth without me even thinking about it. And it made me think about the fact that if Elon's thing can interpret your thoughts, right? Like I even had this wasn't a joke that I was going to tweet out, but I even said in the future, people, instead of going to get Botox, instead of going to get lip augmentation, instead of going to get sun tanning, people are probably going to go in and get some type of like laser treatment to get rid of your dementia. Because I was just thinking, how to, like, I don't, like, again, I'm not an expert, but how are you able to interpret their thoughts? That means that somehow you're able to interpret not the sequence in which they think, because when you interpret their thoughts, it comes out in a certain order. So you now are able to see a pattern in their thought process. You're even able to see where their thoughts are coming from. And so I said, if you can do output, can you do input? Meaning, what if somehow later on those thoughts become misconfigured or jumbled? Is there a way to straighten them out in the reverse? And I talk about this scientist, he's Asian. They probably took him off of CuriosityStream because I seen this like 4 or 5 years ago. But this Asian doctor, he can implant memories into people's minds. He can get them to think about certain things. It's a real thing. He can really do it. Like, he can do it. They talked about it on CuriosityStream. He has a whole lab. He's Asian. He talked about how he can do it. So I was like, thinking, if you can do, why can't you help people who had, instead of trying to give people fucking nightmares about huge goddamn rats, then why can't you help people remember their loved ones and remember the things that are essential to their survival, instead of trying to like fuck with people's head and give them goddamn nightmares, or trying to get them to fuck up their words and not be able to speak straight. Like, see, this is the thing. Or why, like, even with the Amelia Earhart. So, like, recently, this I'm getting to the joke that I was going to tweet out. So with Amelia Earhart, they may have found her plane, right? And I did these recordings a long time ago. I did them a long time ago. They're on my iPhone. And I said, instead of trying to sink women's pussies to strange men's dicks, why don't you sink the body to bots for deep space exploration and deep sea diving exploration, so people don't have to die unnecessarily? The fact is, my body is probably sitting on somebody's computer somewhere, like a goddamn do I want to use that word? Voodoo doll. Which is also in my 8-year-old, it says it's 6 years old, but my 8-year-old desktop publishing photojournalism video that I did 6 years ago. So my body is probably sitting somewhere on someone's goddamn computer like a goddamn voodoo doll. But I'm like, instead of trying to use your tech to disempower people, to rape women, to violate women, there's so many other ways that you could use it. So I was just thinking, the facts of the matter is that my end users, like the Matrix, they can, my body syncs to whatever device that they're using, right? In touch, in feeling, in almost everything, it syncs, like in sound. So what I hear, my location, where I'm at, what I touch, what I feel, even with how the biotech works on the vaginal area, like the love sense, what it does is it syncs to the person's motions. And so then the other person, which is supposed to be a consenting partner long distance, can feel what you feel. And I'm like, why can't you use that same technology for like a bot? So meaning kind of like everyone knows what the Matrix is, right? The Matrix was is that they had an alternate being that was able to go into another world, and through the back of their head, they were able to become that person in that other world. But I am Neo, the way this biotech works. My end user sync to my body all the time. Why do you have to use it to sync to my vagina? Why can't it be used in a way where it syncs to something like much more important, meaning whatever the bot sees or touches, or I should say whatever I see, whatever I touch, the bot sees, the bot touches, in a way that's less dangerous, in a way that's like more important and more effective. So if you want to be able to control or feel or make me feel certain sensations, why can't it be done in the reverse? So the same way, like how ASL works, like if my end user taps the end of my chin and I move my finger to my chin, right? Or my end user does something to the inside of my socket of my ear, and I move my index finger to my ear. It's the same process as far as if you have a bot that is on the ocean floor and you have visual of what they see, and your hand moves to where they are to reach for whatever it is that's in front of them. You see and feel everything they see and feel, but you're on Earth and they're in deep sea, but you are synced with that bot. You know, like I feel like that's a better way of using the technology, but instead, the only thing that y'all have fucking come up with is we're going to allow strange men to be able to sexually feel what your vaginal area does based on the tech that we snuck in your vaginal area. We're going to be able to use the tech to burn the top of your head. We're going to be able to buzz your middle finger when you say things that we don't like that this is the fucking giver society. We're going to be able to pin stab your buttocks when you work walk past certain cameras to let you know that we can see you. Like y'all use it in a like fucked up way. You know, like I said, one of the ways that when you use it is like, I do know when to look to the left or when to look to the right, like tap tap. I look. Sometimes I do see things that I needed to see or things that I needed to walk away from. I mean, that's effective. You know something's about to happen. You want me to leave the room. That's effective because I get it quicker than you speak words. Like what I feel is faster than the words that come out of your mouth, and it's undetected, incognito. So it can make you privy, but the thing is, that's not how y'all using it. Y'all don't use it that way, regardless of how all the things that, like I said, regardless of all the things that the biotech does and how it can make you privy, y'all are not using it that way. So my joke was, I said, and my joke that I was going to tweet is, instead of syncing biotech to women's vaginas, perhaps you need to sync it to a bot to explore Amelia Earhart's plane under in deep sea. And then I said, instead of trying to use your biotech to give people nightmares, perhaps you need to use your biotech to enforce or to aid memory, you know, because I was thinking, I used the example of Forrest Gump and FDR as far as like when their legs, because they had polio, I think, or I don't think Forrest Gump had polio, but he might have. I think he just had some issue with his legs. But you know, they use these braces to make your legs straight, to correct how you walk. And I was like, can't that be done? Like, I'm wondering, can that be done with the like memory? Because if you're able to receive in order how a person thinks or what they want to do. What if at some point later, and I don't want you to try this on the person that you're using, but what if their thoughts then somehow become not in order? Can you reorder it? And I feel like Like, but are you using it that way? Or are you trying to use it to like become an overseer, to try to control people's feelings, to control people's thoughts for your own benefit, for your own control, for your own, so that they can be in servitude? See, this is the issue that I have with biotech and scientists and tech. That's why I feel like they all need to be put in check. What are you doing it for? What are you using it for? Is anyone even paying attention to what you're doing it for and what you're using it for? Like even what I tweeted out to Elon, I said that before. I said if you know that he wants to turn on the light and you know he wants to turn off the light, then you know everything else in between that. Like his thoughts, you're not just reading him wanting to turn on the light. You're reading things that you are now privy to. What do you do with those thoughts? Do you do make sure that the people that work in your labs don't use it to manipulate that person? What if you're able to do this to women? Like I'm always concerned about the ethics and knowing too much or having more information than what was intended to make sure that someone isn't like manipulating or misusing it, or like the purpose in what you're using it for. Like now that you can do this and now you know how to do this, what are you using it for? Are you using it to help me remember certain things, or are you using it to try to create a fucking nightmare so that I seem like I'm batshit crazy? What do you like the ethics and the morals behind some of the capabilities and powers that y'all have? What is it being used for? Like what, like when you did this to my vagina, like did you ask me, did I want this? Do I get that? Do I don't even get to consent to any of it. So it's kind of like I feel like I'm privy and I think about these things all day long. And honestly, I just don't think about them. A lot of stuff happens to me and I'm like, y'all are doing shit that y'all have some you don't have any business doing. And then I'm always wanting to know why. Why, like, why am I getting burned while I'm on the fucking phone with Apple? And then I keep getting this someone keeps sending me an email for this job as a coordinator to be like from ass consulting. And I'm like, I don't want to be at a 9 to 5 getting fucking burned at the top of my head all goddamn day. Like I feel like that's a trap. But it's like you got me in this desperate situation where I hardly have any money. Where it feels, I'm like, you're trying to slave me. You're trying to drone me. You're trying to pimp me while you're abusing me. And then you're doing the let her eat cake after you snuck biotech in my body. And it's not, you are not taking accountability for the pain that is being inflicted on me, nor are you asking me, but yet you snuck it in my body and you're using it on me. So I feel like I have no choice but to do these recordings and post them. Like I feel like I should have been posting them, you know, because you, cause I feel like you've been arrogant enough to have me live with hardly no money and deplorable circumstances. And then you're using the biotech on me every day. And I got the nerve or the stupidity not to post my words publicly. As just civil disobedience against the constant turning of your head and ignoring the fact that what you're doing to me. It's like I feel like Nicola, if you want them to pay attention, you're not getting them to pay attention by doing these recordings privately. You need to put this shit out there. They don't want to call you and ask you. They don't want to pay you while they're using you. Then put it back out there at them. Let the whole fucking world hear it. Because I feel like there's no accountability. Like, how will I get accountability for this shit? Like, you're just doing shit to me that's crazy, and you're not even paying me for what you're doing to me. It's crazy. So, So that's the end of this recording, I think. Maybe I need to put all my other ones out there. I swear. This safeguarding privacy when I really am not being safeguarded is like, why?